May you be helped to commence our morning worship by singing together hymn number 723. Hymn 723. Tune Calvary 668. Come ye sinners, poor and wretched, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, joined with power. He is able, he is willing, doubt no more. Let not conscience make you linger, nor of fitness fondly dream. All the fitness he requireth is to feel your need of him. This he gives you, 'tis the Spirit's rising beam. Hymn 723, tune Calvary 668.
Jesus,
Let us read together from God's holy word, from the book of Psalms, and the first 40 verses of Psalm 119. Psalm 119, reading verses 1 to 40 inclusive. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently, O that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. O forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts, and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight, and my counselors. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth, thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies, O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run in the way, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy word. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. We'll leave the reading there. Dear Lord Jesus, please help us, dear Lord. To come before Almighty God in and through that way which thou hast made, that way lined out with blood. Oh, may we know thy blood to be sprinkled upon us, that we might be able to say, I'm clean. Just God, I'm clean. Not of ourselves, but thy blood and righteousness, dear Lord. And oh, dear Lord, please help us. Lord, in public prayer, Lord, to come low enough to pick up each soul. How we need thy help, Lord. Thou knowest that portion that we have read. Thou knowest the desires expressed in it, Lord. And thou knowest those souls which hope they can say that some of those desires are found in their breast. Oh dear Lord, what a mercy. Those feeble desires, those wishes though weak, 'tis Jesus inspires and bids thee still seek. Thou knowest, Lord, some of the language of this psalmist we fear to put our name to, for we know that we come short. not often that we can say that we delight in thy precepts because the old man wars against it. But, O Lord, in our right mind, when there are those times when one is brought to thy feet to be clothed in our right mind, then these things are our delight, Lord. And we would be kept from the love of the world, which is enmity with God. Oh dear Lord, please make us right and keep us right. Lord, thou knowest those things transpired yesterday, where one was crowned a king, but we're coming to the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And oh dear Lord, though there was that right humbling of the king as he was stripped of his robes yesterday to kneel before thee, O Lord, we think of that great humility. Lord, thou wast humiliated in thy sufferings upon earth. And dear Lord, thou didst come to serve. Lord, may we be given by thy Holy Spirit those petitions for thee to do on our behalf. We read many of them, Lord. Plea for that quickening. Please be given that light upon thy word, to have the word, the treasures opened to our souls, Lord, to be found walking aright, to be kept aright, to be made right, to have those breathings after holiness, as is written above one of the hymns we sing. Indeed, we believe it's above the next hymn to be sung. Oh dear Lord, may not our head, nor heart, nor hand offend against our God. Make me to walk in thy commands. 'Tis a delightful road. Oh dear Lord, maybe there are those here with a desire to walk in thy commands, but how they know that they need thee to make me to walk in thy commands. The psalmist knew it, Lord. This is the way. Walk ye in it. Make us willing in the day of thy power. Oh dear Lord, encourage us in the way. Draw us and we will run after thee. Lord, that our hearts might be on the stretch after thee. Oh dear Lord, we also have to pray Do not let us linger in thy way. Do not let us hold back. And even worse, dear Lord, do not let us turn back. No man having put his hand to the plough and looking back is worthy of the kingdom of heaven. Lord, help us to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. Lord, do thou all for us. We know our total inability to bring forth any good. We know, dear Lord, how left to ourselves the worship will be in vain, and worse than that, it will be a mockery. Oh, may we come before thee seeking to worship with the whole heart. May there be heartfelt worship here this day. And dear Lord, if it be thy holy will, do thou both sow the seed and cause it to enter in. Even that which has been cast upon the waters many years ago, Lord, cause it to be used. Cause it to bear fruit again. Dear Lord, thy ways are so far above our ways. The heaven is above the earth, and thy thoughts above our thoughts. Lord, please work. Please work in and through these things. Please, Lord, may our worship be God-honouring. May there be that which is of thyself and is acceptable in thy sight. Lord, keep us from every sin, we do pray. And dear Lord, thou knowest we would bear each one before thee. Lord, thou knowest from the youngest, the babes in arms, to the eldest, our dear friend in a care home. Lord, every one is in thy sight. And the needs of everyone, and thy perfect will for everyone. It's all known to thee. Please work, Lord. Please comfort. Please strengthen. May there be those renewings of faith. And where some poor soul says, that's too far for me. Oh, may there be those first tokens of faith. May there be that little hope, the little that a righteous man hath is better than the treasures of many wicked. Oh, give us that little which is God-given, God-sent, planted by thee. Oh, Lord, drawn out from our hearts after thee. Give us that life, that well of water springing up in our hearts, Lord. We think of one who said, "Give me of this water." Lord, she was a sinner. Lord, and we have no stones to throw, as we are each sinners in thy sight. But Lord, the gospel is for sinners. May we be able to drink, be able to eat, Lord. Come and bless us, Lord. So please help us this day. Thy servant coming up amongst us. Oh dear Lord, may he be given that to preach. Lord, may he be helped in the preaching. May it not be an engagement made in vain, but may it be an engagement made, Lord, under the guidance of thyself, under the guidance of thy Holy Spirit, divine appointment. Lord, we pray, do us good, Lord, come and bless. And dear Lord, as we seek to remember thee and thy sufferings, as we keep the ordinance of the Lord's Supper in this evening service, grant us, dear Lord, solemnity of mind. Thou didst say, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. O Lord, may there be that humble desire to sit at table with our Lord, humbly acknowledging thy love shed abroad in our hearts. May there be that desire in the hearts of those who look on. Bring me there, Lord. Lord, may they be able to see that these that sit down are no better. They are sinners. Yet enabled to confess a humble hope in thee. Lord, bring them also to come and dine. And so, Lord, may we be given grace to tenderly walk in accordance with thy holy commandments and do these things in remembrance of thee. Lord, be with us each and through the day. May all be done to thine honour and glory. Lord, freely bless us. Undeserving though we are, Lord, we are instructed to pray for those that have the rule over us. And dear Lord, we do pray that even if it could please thee, some of those things that were undertaken yesterday, some of the solemnities of the service, might be applied. We understand that many hundreds of millions watch the service. Oh, could it please thee to sanctify it. But dear Lord, may it be sanctified in the hearts, the souls of our King and the Queen Consort and our rulers, that they may think on these things with fear and trembling. Lord, there was error in the service, as it was declared that thou didst die for the sin of all the world. Our Lord, thou didst die for the sin of thy people and the elect people. O Lord, do thou in mercy, with thy Holy Spirit's work, correct those errors in the hearts of those in whom thou wilt work. Cause them to know these things of a certainty. Lord, work, we do pray. Get the honour and glory, and may our leaders be brought to fear the Lord. So undertake for us, forgive us. All we ask him is, blot out, Lord, that which is not acceptable in thy sight, in thy tender mercy, and do own and bless and hear and answer that which is in accordance with thy holy will. We ask thy precious holy name's sake. Lord Jesus, amen. The notices for the opening week are that, God willing, Mr. Graham Cottenham is engaged to preach this evening, and Mr. Matthew Hyde on Tuesday evening. Our monthly prayer meeting to be held on Friday evening, and Mr. Graham Cottenham is again engaged to preach next Lord's Day evening, and has helped. There will be a read address in the prayer meeting, read sermon in the morning service, and a church meeting has been arranged, God willing, for Monday the 5th of June to be held at 6:30 p.m. May we now be helped to continue our worship, singing together hymn number 1003. Hymn 1003. June Lydia 177. Oh, that the Lord would guide my ways, to keep his statutes still. Oh, that my God would grant me grace to know and do his will. Make me to walk in thy commands. 'Tis a delightful road. Nor let my head or heart or hands offend against my God. Hymn 1003, tune Lydia 177.
Thank you.
has helped, I will read as own preacher, Mr. J.K. Popham, whose text was taken from that portion which we read, Psalm 119 and verse 17. Psalm 119, verse 17. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. One of the sweetest privileges to which the Lord has advanced his people in Christ in dealing with him at the throne of grace, coming to him, having liberty, right and boldness to come into his presence, we shall never be able rightly to estimate the greatness of this privilege. Who then knows the worth of prayer, but wishes often to be engaged in that sacrifice and spiritual exercise? The foundation of all dealing with God by his people is in this, that they are made nigh by the blood of Christ. They are by nature children of wrath, even as others. Far off, they have experience of that in their own hearts. But when the blood of sprinkling speaks better things on their consciences than that of Abel, they know what it is to be made nigh, more nigh than can be expressed. People who do get near the Lord know it. Talking about prayer is one thing. Getting access and speaking to the Lord is a different matter altogether. If ever you have dealt with God by prayer and supplication through the blood of atonement, in the power of the Holy Ghost, in some measure, you've known that difference. You may not be quite sure yet of your interest, but you've known what that sacrifice, that unspeakably solemn, awful, though blessed approach to God is, and that distinct dealing with him about your immortal souls. Of all experiences in the Christian life, this is one of the best and sweetest, when the Lord draws and you run. He touches and you melt. He opens his riches and says, ask what thou wilt. When the world and its vanities, self and its vileness, are more or less under your feet, and God, Father, Son and Holy Ghost, become in some good degree real and great to you. My beloved friends, that is a great word in Isaiah. Thus saith the High and Lofty One, that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is Holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also, that is of a contrite and humble spirit. I will dwell with him, look to him who is poor and of a contrite spirit. This tabernacling of God with man is the effect of his love, wisdom, condescension, and power in the person of Christ made known. Therefore, of all things that ever you may have in your desires, may this be one of the biggest, and burn more than the others, namely, to have the right of access in the blood of atonement, and sweet liberty in the power of the Holy Ghost from time to time. This psalm is greatly encouraging. Let us observe the different status of the psalmist throughout. Here is a man who, in his sense, is often wanting much. Then cleaving to the dust, frequently finding himself a wandering sheep, yet not forgetting God's commandments. And in these various conditions of mind, what do you see uppermost? There's one who can help me. And what is the effect? I will go to him and try my interest with him. The constant breathing of this psalm is to keep God's word, his testimonies, his statutes, his ways. And in order that he might do this, was the thing he attended to, prayer. He was enabled to follow the commands we have in another psalm. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. May the Lord make us a praying people. He lives best who lives on his knees. He gets through difficulties best who is most on his knees. He fights best who fights with the weapons God gives him, the whole armour of God, and chiefly the weapon of all prayer. In this word I've read, we have a poor man dealing with his rich, almighty friend. Deal bountifully with thy servant. This is his prayer. And there is a twofold reason given for his coming thus to God. First, that he might live. And second, that he may keep God's word. He wants to walk in that word. There are three things to notice. So firstly, his prayer and its comprehensiveness. It is a believing prayer, one that has a view, a great view of what God is. He does not ask for bountiful dealing from a poor person, for power from a weak person, from wisdom from one who has none, but asks for what the man wants at the hands of one who has all he can possibly need for time and eternity. Whatever you may feel about self, its power, its guiltiness, intense untowardness, perpetual tendency to backslide, various evils that you may feel hardly fit to live and walk on God's earth, when faith is in exercise, there will be enlarged views of God that will make you feel sure that all you want is in him, that your largest petitions will be answered, and the emptiest of all vessels filled out of his fullness. No man can pray for blessing till he believes those blessings can be given him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith must be at the bottom of all proper prayer. There is a living spring in the soul, so that, as Hart says, the Christian's heart, his prayer indites, he speaks as prompted from within. Oh, what a wonder to have faith. Faith that is the gift of God. faith that gives God credence for every word he has spoken. Faith that looks into the mysteries which angels desire to look into. Faith that can rest on omnipotence, on a divine promise. Faith that can and will take no denial. That can and does wait, although God may long delay to fulfill some of his promises. I would speak of this prayer in two or three particular points. Firstly, the deal bountifully with thy servant by removing sin and guilt from the conscience. Nothing more weakens a child of God than his sins. Nothing more discourages him than feeling guilty. Nothing presses on so on the spirit as sin and guilt. External troubles are heavy to bear, but this is the heaviest of all. We find the psalmist has exercised on this point. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. Hide thy face from my sins, blot out all my iniquities. Purge me of hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Heal my soul. Why? For I have sinned against thee. And throughout the whole of the scriptures, you'll find the same thing. It is not only in the first instance that forgiveness of sins is wanted, but all through. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Ah, what rich grace. This is what Jesus has. What the Father has put in him. And the Spirit is sent to bring his people. The grace of forgiveness. God thus proclaimed himself to Moses. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. If that does not suit you, it is not because you have no sin, but that you have no sense of it. And if it suits you, go to him as you feel. Go with that guilt that burdens you, with the sins that perplex and distress you, even as Paul's distressed him and caused him to cry out, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Go to this bountiful God, who says he will abundantly pardon. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, for he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Who says to Israel, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words, and turn to the Lord, and say unto him, turn away all iniquity, and receive us graciously. So will we render the cards of our lips. Is it not amazing, wonderful, beautiful, when you get on your conscience a powerful sense of forgiveness? When, as the light shining in his strength on the earth makes all bright and lovely, so is that smile of God on your soul. It is like that scripture. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. Oh, what streams of love come into the desert. rivers into the wilderness, and the dry land becomes springs of water because of the great kindness of God in the forgiveness of all sin. Deal bountifully. Do not let me live under the power of this sin. Languish in this guilt. Be a captive to my transgressions. Let not nature reign. Where I have contracted fresh guilt, take it away. There is great attraction when you see a sin-pardoning God full of mercy, who says, take with you words and turn to the Lord. You're always falling. There's no man that sinneth not. And say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. If any man could lift up this sin-pardoning God as he deserves to be lifted up, what a sermon would be preached. All sin, all transgression, all guilt to be taken away, and the man's heart teems with wrong. For the imagination of a man's heart is evil continually. Yet God looks on such a one and gives him what he desires when he comes to him for forgiveness. When he says, though I am like this, do take away my sin. Turn away my reproach which I fear, and let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation, according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me. Well, brethren, go like this, and I will go with you as well as I can to a sin-pardoning God, who retaineth not his anger for ever, because he delighteth in mercy. Yes, it is his delight to have people at his footstool. It is his exceeding kindness in Christ. And secondly, with this prayer, deal bountifully with thy servant in the quickening him from time to time. In this psalm we find often this petition, quicken me. My soul cleaveth unto the dust, quicken thou me according to thy word. Paul had the same experience, and all find that no man can keep his own soul alive his own soul. What then? Shall sin have dominion? Shall death reign? No, says Paul. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? You can no more live in sin than fish can live on land if you have grace in your souls. What then? Seeing sin is in us, what shall we do? Seeing we cannot do what we would, what course can we take? Be like the psalmist. Quicken me in thy righteousness. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. O brethren in Christ Jesus, with all the death that death felt by you, what a mercy to have a door of access open to you, a right of entrance, and the spirit of supplication poured on you to go with this quickening God, to this quickening God. Listen, sinner. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. This is true. He to the feeble and the faint his mighty aid makes known. We get worn out sometimes. Conflict seems to take away the life. Sin benumbs and deadens the spirit. Unbelief is a block of ice on the heart. Every grace is chilled. Oh, what a state. And were we left to it, can we say what would become of us? But thanks to God, which having begun a good work, he will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. There are renewals that are renewals in the spirit of the mind promised. One is the power to use this plea, deal bountifully with thy servant, being gracious and merciful, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Thou hast abounded toward me in pardoning iniquity and transgression and sin until now. Let that superabounding grace flow in new operations into my soul. Pardon as a God, he does. If not, what would become of us? When the Queen of Sheba came to Solomon, he gave her all her desire, whatsoever she asked, and went beyond it. Beside that, he gave her of his royal bounty. And our good God and Saviour does sometimes pour that sweet reviving grace on the soul to make good his promise. I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And what is it to accomplish? His word tells us, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Read that in Ezekiel 37, verse 27. Sorry, Ezekiel 36, verse 27. This then is the prayer, to receive from the Holy Ghost fresh quickenings, bountiful renewings. Then we are fervent in love, lively in faith, clear in understanding, supple in will, spiritual in disposition. The things of God are our delight, his ways are our choice. To be at his footstool is heaven below, to sit there at his gracious feet. It will always be the place of highest advancement, the sweetest spot. Deal bountifully. What liberality there is in God. There is nothing in this world that can be a proper simile of it. Everything is short. What perhaps most illustrated is the sun, scattering abroad with prodigal liberality his light and heat over the earth. Oh, what the Lord Jesus effects when he is kind to sinners and answers their requests. What bounty is in the answers. Therefore, let us come to him to be quickened. Draw me, we will run after thee. Gather me, that I may not be scattered. Move me, that my love may be kindled. And thirdly, in this prayer, deal bountifully with me by giving me fresh and clearer views of faith, by faith, of the person and work of Jesus Christ. It is but little we know of him. I can say that at least of myself. Though I have been more than 40 years seeking him, and have had some sights of him, I live to feel that I know but little. What can a finite mind know of infinite love, infinite goodness, infinite merit? Open thou mine eyes, reveal to mine eyes wondrous things out of thy law. Ah, to a godly Jew, the ceremonial law was a constant instruction. It was glorious indeed, but not in comparison with the glory that excelleth. The great day of atonement, the morning and evening sacrifice, the various washings, the table of showbread to be renewed at the periods appointed, the candles ever burning, the fire on the altar of burnt offering never to go out. What instruction was in all these things? One says, my faith looks back to see the burdens thou didst bear. The Jews looked forward, and both meet, and ever must meet, in the same point, the same dear man, the God-man, the same sacrifice, the same table of showbread, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that the Lord would deal bountifully with us. There is no scant supply in him. All is there, a fullness infinite. All we need is to have our eyes open to see it. For the spirit of wisdom and revelation to come into our hearts, to take of his things and show them unto us. What a great thing to have before the eye of faith God and man in one person. To see infinite love, infinite merit, righteousness, power, compassion, all in him. We have vain gadding spirits, but I say none can gad about when held by the sacred attractions of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that God the Spirit would deal bountifully with us in this regard. Give us to see Jesus crowned with glory and honour at his Father's right hand, having all power given to him in heaven and earth, to see him that is called faithful and true, whose name is the Word of God, and who has promised to see his people again and make their hearts rejoice. This is the best and greatest of all sights. I wish I could live in the view of him. We are in his sight, ever seen, and may we have visions by faith of him. Where no vision is, the people perish. A languishing state and all kinds of evil will come in. And who knows what would become of a child of God without these renewings. There are 3 points in the prayer which I commend to your close attention, that the Lord would deal bountifully. One, in the removal of sin and guilt from the conscience. 2, in the powerful quickening and renewing of the mind by the Holy Ghost, that he might be shed on us abundantly. And 3, in clearer visions of the Lord Jesus by faith in the Spirit's light and revelation. Some of you say, looking on yourselves, who could be more unworthy than I? If I get to heaven at last, it is as much as I can think of. Contradiction through guilt and unbelief are in our present state natural and legal. Nothing is more binding to the mind and spirit than icy unbelief. Nothing more holds the soul down than the legal sense of unworthiness till Christ delivers us from it. And then we say, yet would I glory in the thought that I shall owe thee most. Oh, for grace to dare to beg. You not worthy, whoever was, you unfit, who was fit yet? What is the fitness God approves? Is the fitness of an empty vessel, room for himself. Go and thank him if there is room for him in your heart, in your sense of things. Go with the chains about your neck, with the fears on your spirit, and all you feel and are and have, and what then? If you have your eye on the blood of Christ and can make mention of that, you'll please the Father and prevail. Oh, blessed be God, the blood of Christ speaks better things than that of Abel. Grace is free, and I believe myself that no man has ever yet set forth free grace as it deserves to be. Yet this I say, no objection of any sort that can arise in the thought of any child of God who longs for Christ will have any effect to turn away this free, great mercy he has to bestow on begging people. Cry, cry, try as hard as you can. Deal bountifully with thy servant. But I must hasten to the next point, the second point of my sermon, that I may live. Was not the psalmist living? Yes, but sense of guilt is a kind of death. It keeps the joy of heaven from the heart. It is a bar between you and the Lord, a black cloud covering the face of the sun from your vision. If you have had joy, it is dead. Confidence that you will be heard, it is gone. Promises spoken, they seem buried. A great stone rolled and put on the mouth of the grave. Everything is as dead, with this guilt on the heart and conscience. But when removed, the soul lives again. Like one who has been in exile says, I died when I was away, I live now I'm at home. So one that has been at a distance from the Lord feels, I died then, but I live now under the smiles of my Heavenly Father. I live under the sense of His kindness to an unworthy sinner. Yes, men do live in the Lord, and the Lord in them. They live when the Holy Ghost is in them, as a well of water springing up into its everlasting life. When the love of the Father is in them, and the grace of the Son prevails in them, they live in the Trinity, that I may live. Some of us do at times live here, blessed be God. It is not all death. But when we get answers to prayer for quickening, and those affections and graces of ours, faith, hope and love, are once more in sweet exercise, when Jesus, not the world, truth nor vanity, again become our object and delight. Oh, what a life it is. When it is not hard to get yourself to prayer, and you feel, I give myself unto prayer, I will go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. That is living. When you can believe as Paul, then you live. I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. When the promise is in your eye, more than the circumstances that contradict it. When your love is set on Him, and you are not offended in respect of His dealings in providence, but can say, I love the Lord with mind and heart, His people and His ways. When you get near views of Christ, when He flourishes Himself at the lattice, looking through the window and lets you see His lovely face and the Father in Him, when you see His merit, His precious blood and righteousness, when He lets down some sense of your interest and you feel, here I find my heaven. When you get to the cross and say, here I would live always. This is life. Beholding Him die, we live. There is nothing like this to put the world from the iron heart. We are so vain naturally. The devil has but to dangle some vanity before the iron spirit and the creature is caught. But not when the Lord Jesus presents Himself to you. Let the sinner come before Him and holds himself to the view of faith as dying. That makes the sinner live. His affections, heavenly. His spirit, meek. His mind at liberty. His heart purified by faith. And what is written, he finds true. Christ is all and in all. Then the things that are behind are forgotten, and the things before are sought unto and followed after, according to Paul's word. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This is what it is to live. Pray for it. May we be followers of Paul by the power of the Holy Ghost and press for this high privilege and great blessing May we gaze on this Lord Jesus that we may live. And the third part of my sermon, lastly, and keep thy word. In this psalm, law, testimonies, commandments, precepts, word seems to be used indifferently for the same thing, the word of God. I would speak of the word in two ways. As the inspired scriptures, the revelation which God has made to us, inerrant, with no defect, as originally given, may we keep them inviolate as we have them, believing the original words to be rendered as literally and faithfully as possible. And whatever men say, if it be increasingly fashionable to tamper with that word and to deny its plenary, that is, its unqualified and absolute truth, verbal inspiration, may this belong to us, which was spoken to Timothy, from a child. Thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. By Jeremiah the Lord says, concerning the great ones, lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in them. David said, I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. Job says, I have esteemed the words of thy mouth more than my necessary food. Jude exhorts us to contend earnestly for the faith once delivered unto the saints. And Paul, hold fast the form of sound words. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learnt them. 2 Timothy 3, verses 13 and 14. Oh, may we cleave close to the word, and those great doctrines of sovereign grace contained in it, knowing of whom we have learned them. And secondly, as regards those parts which God speaks into the heart, the scriptures are given for all in whose hands they come, but there are portions made over to particular persons. We read of some that by faith they obtained promises. And are there not some here who in exercises, necessities, have on their knees obtained promises from God? They are in their hearts. There they have lived, been powerful and sweet, and the psalmist testifies, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And Jeremiah, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. When then Satan contradicts that promise, long trials weaken it in the spirit, and the Lord delays the fulfillment, oh then to be able to hold fast to it, to believe God is faithful and cannot lie. May we seek by the power of the Holy Ghost to keep it, not to give it up as circumstances would have us to do, and our hearts dictate. So Christ charges his church, that which ye already hold fast till I come. That which ye have already hold fast till I come. Remember how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast. The word of God cannot be broken. Again, may we keep his word by walking according to its directions. When the Lord gives a promise, it has this in it: trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Call upon me, in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. When the Lord gave you a promise, did it not say, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now, trouble comes and contradicts it. Your unbelieving heart says, there is no access, nothing for you. And the devil, you never had any word, why hold it? What does the Lord say? That which ye have already, hold fast till I come. Remember how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast. So the psalmist says, that I may keep thy word inviolate. The power of the Spirit, as having received it from heaven. Beg of God, you may do so. Say, deal bountifully, O Lord. Bless an empty sinner, an ungracious sinner. O faithful God, bless a faithless worm. Deal bountifully with thy servant. Pardon mine iniquity. Quicken my soul, for it cleaveth to the dust. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law, that I may live and keep thy word. May the Lord help us to pray to him for these things. For to whom else shall we go? He and he alone has the words of eternal life. May he command us through the sweet operations of his Spirit, thus to come to him and to call to him. And may he in sweet response say, behold me, behold me. Amen. Let us conclude by singing together hymn number 184, hymn 184, tune Willingdon 815. A fullness resides in Jesus our head, and ever abides to answer our need. The Father's good pleasure has laid up in store a plentiful treasure to give to the poor. Hymn 184, tune Willingdon 815. Dear Lord Jesus, do we pray thee, intercede for us. Cover with that mantle thy forgiving love all that thou hast seen amiss. And O dear Lord, may it please thee to help each soul to take thy word and to plead it before thee. Quicken now me, that I may live and keep thy word. Lord, so much is caught up in that simple prayer. O Lord, may even the dear little children be able to pray it. Quicken, that is, make my soul alive, that I may live and keep thy word. Do it, we pray thee, for thy precious name's sake. And now may the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, sweet communion and teaching of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.